You would turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3. Believe and yield. It's a good thing to keep in mind. 2 Corinthians 3 says this, verse 7. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved in stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory on his face, fading as it was, how shall the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory, in this case, has no glory on account of the glory that surpasses it. In other words, the glory of the old was one level, but the glory of the new is far greater level. For that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. What is he talking about? He's talking about the fading of the Old Testament, the fading of the law. Because see, the law could never give you life. The law never brought life with it. But the New Testament, the letter of the Spirit, does bring life. So having therefore such a hope, we use such great boldness in our speech, and are not as Moses, who used to put a veil over his face that the sons of Israel might not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from the same image, from glory to glory. This is the Lord, the Spirit. Now that was a whole mouthful. But what was happening was that he was talking about the transition from the law to the gospel of grace that we know. He's talking about this transition in this time. How much greater is the testimony and the witness of the gospel than the witness was of the law? And so what he's doing, he's just setting a stage. But even within Moses, I ask, well, why did it matter to Moses if the people saw the glory that was still on his face? Why did he cover his face? And then that's always perplexed me, because what's the purpose of covering your face so that they don't see the glory? Well, for one, they were superstitious people, so seeing the glory probably would have been spooky to them. But what the Lord showed me, that what he was doing was he was honoring the Father. Because see, there was a separation. There was a separation between the Father's glory and the people. And so by wearing this veil was symbolic of the separation that was over the people's heart, over their eyes. It was symbolic, and because it was symbolic of that separation, he was honoring that which was keeping a distance between God and man. The good news is, in the new covenant, there is no separation. When a man turns to the Lord, there's a removing of that veil. There's a lifting of the veil. There's a removing of the separation that had existed in the old covenant. All that's kind of a review, but it sets a stage what I want to begin to do, because see, the Lord began to speak some things to me yesterday, and I was looking at these verses, but he showed me some things that were very different. And at first, it took me a while to understand what he was trying to do. But what I want to talk to you today about is the breaking of rejection. The breaking of rejection. And that happens when we allow God to come and move into our life, when we'll turn our heart to the Lord and let him totally lift and remove the veil that we've worn. Hallelujah. Let's take a few more things in background. What I want to do is set a remembrance. One of the things that we've talked about here is the awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. Was a quote from Robert Coleman explaining what revival is. The awakening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. What's incumbent upon us as ministers to do is to bring you into the knowledge of your new nature, to bring you into the knowledge of what God has done for you and has done in you. Because, see, that is the nature of what revival is. We are a people who are looking for what LaRue called the other night the land of demonstration. We want to see God do things that are supernatural. We want to see God do things that are well above and beyond what we have seen in the church as a whole. Why do we want this? Because in the release of the power of God, it comes the release of the testimony of God. In the release of that power comes the stirring of His people and the quickening of His people to life, and that which calls people in to the door. That which causes people to live differently than what they did before. When God healed my back, that was an awakening for me in a moment to cause me to reflect on this, who this God might be. When I reflected on who this God might be, then the answer of what I needed to do came very quickly. But see, God's demonstration paved the way. That's what we're looking for. A demonstration of who He is that paves the way. A demonstration that leads to a transformation of hearts and minds, a transformation of lives, a transformation of families, and ultimately to a transformation of communities. These are the things that God was looking to create within us. And in order for us to find that place, we must first make sure that we leave off anything to do with the old nature, the old man. Because see, it's the old man that keeps getting us in trouble. It's the old man who keeps leading us into the place of sin. It's the old man who keeps leading us into those other ways, the old poor, pitiful me and everything else that comes with it. It's the old man who causes us to respond out of something that's not the character of Christ. So what we want to do is continually bring you back and encourage and lift up and renew and call forth the new man in you. Because as we become more and more aware of the new man within us, as we become more convinced of the new man within us, it gives us a place of power and strength to respond in a different way than we have before. So that's why we're looking for these things. That's why we're allowing God to remove these things of the past, and that's why we're allowing Him to speak into who we are. Hallelujah. So we call forth the new nature. The Lord says here, follow the heart that I have put in you. Faith is the result of agreement with me. Growth in the Spirit happens when you step out past what is seen and known. In other words, when you step out into that place where it's uncomfortable. When you step out into that place where you can't predict it all, where you can't control it all, where you can't be in charge of it all. And then when you're stepping out into that place where it's going to take God to do this. That's where growth is. That's where maturity comes from. Risk is essential to growth. Risk is not an easy thing for you to accept when it concerns the potential for rejection. Risk in other areas is easy for you, even sought out for the stimulation of the mind. These things are true. I love taking risks in certain areas. Because there's an excitement, there's a stimulation, there's an intensity to living on the edge that's just fun. But see, risk when it comes to rejection is something that I've always looked for a way to go around. I've always looked to how can I avoid that. I spend a lot of time looking to avoid that. Allow me to be your defense for rejection. You want to break rejection, that's where it starts right there. Allowing Him to be the defense. Because see, there's some lies and there's some things that we believe, and He's going to begin explaining those things. But when we respond out of a place of rejection, it sets us up for failure. When we respond out of a place of rejection, it sets us up to shrink back from that which is faith. So the first thing that I did was I renounced the lie, the rejection. Because see, we have an understanding and we have this lie that's been embedded in us that rejection is bad. One of the other lies that we believe in this situation is that it's wrong to be different. It's bad to be different. See, that's a lie. Because see, if everyone's the same, wherein is your leader? You can't lead and not be different. In order to lead, you must be different. In order to be after the heart of God in this nation, in this time, you better be different. Being different is not wrong. Being different is what the school kids wanted to get you to do, but even they didn't realize that it wasn't the thing that they really needed. God wants us to understand that. So first, we're going to allow Him to be the defense for our rejection. And we're going to renounce the lie that rejection is bad. He has this to say about that. He says, I was rejected for you. That's a reminder of what it says in Hebrews 12. He bore the rejection and bore the shame for us. He bore those things for us that we wouldn't have to, that we have a way and a place and an avenue to place those things into. Not all rejection is the same. Rejection for the sake of truth only brings clarity to the purpose of the mission. I still see questions. Rejection for the sake of truth. When the Pharisees rejected Christ, what were they rejecting? They were rejecting the truth. Their rejection for the sake of truth brought clarity to the need for the mission. Christ was on a mission. He was on a mission to fulfill the will of the Father, to bring back a people unto Himself. And that mission was made all the more clear by the Pharisees' rejection of who Christ was. Because they rejected Him, they created the possibility for all the people to see why it was necessary for there to be a change of covenant. Because they could see clearly that the law could not bring you to the place of the understanding of where God really wanted them to be. It could not bring them to the Savior. All it could do is point them to the Savior, but it could not save them. Rejection that is surrendered to me brings increase in your capacity to walk with me. Brings increase to your capacity to walk with me. Because when you experience rejection, and instead of responding out of that rejection, instead of responding out of that hurt and out of that pain, you begin to intercede for the one who's doing the rejection. You begin to intercede and lift up the one and bring Christ to the one and be a reflection and a revelation of who Christ is in that situation. God is brought into increase. There is a glory that is being expounded upon that cannot happen any other way. Let me give you a New Testament example. Go to Philippians. Philippians 1, verse 14. Well, back up to verse 13. You'll help set it up. We'll start in 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. See, what we see here is that he was taking the place of rejection because he was standing in the place of imprisonment. A place of shame, and yet he was standing boldly proclaiming the word. And because he stood boldly proclaiming the word, and because he did not shrink back from what God was doing in his life and what God was saying, there was a testimony that was being sent forth, and that testimony emboldened the other peoples who saw what was happening with Paul and realized Paul's not backing off in spite of what he's going through. He's not shutting down in spite of what he's going through. And there was a greater testimony of the Lord being released because of his imprisonment than would have been if he had just been out free making that same testimony. And because of the power of that word that was being released, then there was something that was happening in the people that were around because they were being encouraged and uplifted and knowing that if Paul can do it, so can we. If Paul can do it and set forth this example before me, then I can at least follow in his steps. He was different, and he led because he was different. So rejection that is surrendered to me brings increase in your capacity to walk with me. To focus on avoiding rejection limits the potential for growth in me. That kind of goes without saying. When we get focused on trying to keep ourselves from the place of hurt, what we do is we live in an ever-shrinking world. When we focus on limiting those things that are possibilities around us, then what we do now in reality is we come into an ever-smaller circumference of influence, even in physical space. If we never step outside of our comfort zone shrinks continually. So to focus on avoiding rejection limits the potential for growth in me. My love is expanded where rejection is present. Without rejection, there could not have been a cross. There could not have been a cross. Without the Pharisees shutting this down, without them offering him up, there never could have been salvation. So rejection can be a tool that the enemy imposes this rejection and tries to twist us up with this rejection. God can allow it to be used in such a way to bring glory and bring something that happens good out of it. Rejection or fear of rejection is an artificial limit. For rejection to prosper, it must be based in shame. Break the power of shame, and you break the power of rejection. When we break the power of shame, then we've taken the authority out of the rejection. How do we do these things? We look to the new man. We look to the new man. He goes on to say that righteousness and glory are the opposite of shame. Righteousness is right standing with the Lord. The only true shame there can be, we feel lots of things that are shame. The only true shame is when we're not standing correctly with the Lord. We break the power of that by standing in righteousness. When we stand in righteousness, righteousness will automatically release the glory of the Lord into every situation. When the glory of the Lord is released into the situation, then rejection is automatically dealt with. Their shame is automatically dealt with. When shame is brought out into truth and brought out into light, then the light exposes the shame for what it is. It's powerless. When you bring shame into the light of God's truth, it has no more authority. I've watched many persons come into my office and share something that had held so much power and authority over them for all their life, and all they had to do was just merely tell me about it. And they walked out of the office healed. It wasn't because I said anything to them. It wasn't because anything else was going on. It was simply because it was brought into the light, and the light exposed it for what it was. The enemy wants to bring us into those places even when we're very young. It brought to mind an event. What happened was really inconsequential. But that was not how the enemy played it over and over and over again in my mind. There was an event where, I don't know, I was kindergarten, first grade, somewhere like that. And I went to this birthday party. And the gift that I brought was rejected, and I turned that into a rejection of myself. And even though the child's mother tried to reach out to me, I never recorded that part of it. And see, the feeling was that you were all alone because I was in a place where I didn't know anybody. But the Lord showed me we're not all alone. He's with. And see, and it was even his remembrance, he brought to remembrance how the mother had reached out to me, but I didn't know what to do with that. And the enemy took that and he played that over and over and over in my mind until I became ingrained with that pattern, that thought. Why? Because see, the place of your sensitivity is also the place of your perception. It's also the place of discernment. He wanted to sow and pattern this in there that I would forever not ever do anything that would cause me to reach out past that place of pain, that would cause me to reach out past that place so that I could never help anyone else. So that I would never allow the discernment of the Lord to come forth in my heart. Because see, he had so coated it over with this rejection and the consequential shame. What I found is that when his truth came into that area, when I allowed him to reveal it in truth, to bring it to the light, and I just said, Lord, take this thing, look at this thing, and tell me what is here. When he unraveled it, it was nothing. And the reality was, it's really 99% sure that it was just my perception of the rejection in the first place. It wasn't even a true rejection. But see, when you begin to take those things and you begin to act on them, then you create the possibility for rejection. One of the things that people do when they've been rejected is to become so super sensitive that you become offended at everything. An alternate path, which was the path that I chose, was that you step into rebellion. You get so fed up with being rejected that you just say, well, I'm going to reject them first. And when you're busy rejecting them first, well, guess what happens? You create situations that cause them to reject you. You create situations that cause them to defend the very thing that you felt rejected you. God is looking for us to change the dynamics of those things by looking and teaching us of this new nature that he's placed within us. Because as he teaches us of this new nature that he's placed within us, as he begins to convince us of this righteousness, see, that's why Holy Spirit and having the Holy Spirit in your life is so important. Because, see, Holy Spirit comes to do what? He comes to convict you of your sin, yes, but he also comes to convict you of your righteousness. Because, see, in the conviction of your righteousness is how he deals with these things called rejection and shame. When we're walking in right standing with the Lord, there's no more place for shame. When we're walking in right standing with the Lord, then there's no more need or place for rejection. Why? Because we're in alignment in the place where it matters the most. That's what righteousness means. To be in alignment with the King. If you're in alignment with the King, who else matters? So he's looking to cause us to move into the place of freedom by acknowledging the righteousness that he's put within us. The kingdom of God is what? It's not rejection, peace, and joy. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen? Righteousness means that I'm no longer standing in that thing that I was standing under before. I'm now standing in alignment. I'm coming into a standing with Christ. When I come into a standing with Christ, when I understand the nature within me, then I can walk free of that which was the old nature. I walk free of that which is the old man. To walk in shame or pride is to walk with the old man. To walk in rejection is to walk with the old man. Now, it might not always feel good until you get to the point where you can let God be your defender when someone rejects you. When someone rejects you, then what's necessary for us is as quickly as possible, let God be our defender. Let Him be the one who bears that burden. Because now what you're doing is, when you're walking in righteousness, you're walking in the new nature. You're walking in that freedom that we have in Christ. Go to Galatians with me. Chapter 1, verse 15. I want you to just see something here. This is what happened for Paul. This is what happens for you. Paul's no better than you in terms of how God sees you. But when He who had set me apart, I'll ask you, if you're set apart, are you different? I believe so. It's not wrong to be different. I don't care what you learned in the schoolyard. It's not wrong to be different. God sets you apart. He did that for a reason, because He wanted to make a leader out of you. He wanted to make a minister out of you. He wanted to make somebody who could bring forth a testimony of God. And if you look like everybody else, there's no testimony there. He sets you apart. Now, when He who set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through His grace, called me through His grace, through His empowerment to do His will, was pleased to reveal His Son in me, that I might teach Him among the Gentiles. Pleased to reveal His Son in you. God has been pleased to reveal Christ in you. We studied dunamis the other day, and as we were studying dunamis, we were looking and recognizing that He creates, He gives us this dunamis power. Why? So that we might understand Christ in us. So that Christ could walk in us. So that Christ could be revealed in us. This dunamis power that comes through the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He's convicting us of this Christ in us. In other words, He's convicting you of that new nature. He's revealing to you the nature of Christ that He's put in you. No longer do we have to succumb to the pain of the past. No longer do we have to succumb to all the rejection, no matter who that rejection came from, no matter what happened, how that rejection occurred in your life. No longer do you have to give in to the shame, but now you have somewhere you can put those things. Flip over to Galatians 2, verse 20. The word says here, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Some versions, some translations use in. There's a very key difference there. King James has it right, in the face of the Son of God. Why? Because it's Christ that's living in you. It's the faith of God that's living in you. It's not something that's waiting for something to happen at some point in some time. It's not something that was happening because of some external force. It's happening because Christ is in you. And because Christ is in you, it gives you the freedom to recognize that, yes, the old man was there, but I am crucifying him through this Christ that is in me. When I respond to this new nature. And then he says, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved him and delivered himself up for me. Jesus recognized the devil couldn't make him do it. The devil can't make you do it either. The devil couldn't make him do it, and the Father wouldn't make him do it. He had to do it himself because of a choice of his own will. He had to deliver himself up. It had nothing to do with how many men, how many guards, how many Roman soldiers there were. It didn't matter. Those things were not the issue. The issue was whether or not he decided in his own heart that I will submit myself to the will of the Father for the good of these people. And he chose to deliver himself up. That's reason enough for us to rejoice. Reason enough for us to recognize the power and authority He's given to us. If He can do this for us, what is it that we can deny Him? Galatians 3:22. But Scripture, or the law, has shut up all men under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The faith of Jesus Christ. You're not just limited to your own faith. You're not just limited to what you can generate. You have all the faith of Christ. The same faith that walked upon the water. The same faith that raised the dead man. It's in you. The faith that healed the blind eyes. It's in you. The faith that made the lame walk. It's in you. The faith that spoke the oracles of the Father. It's in you. The law made us recognize that there was sin. It was a teacher to lead us to the place of recognizing we needed a Savior. But I'm here to tell you the Savior is here and the Savior is in you. We no longer have to walk by those old dictates. We can walk by the freedom that we have in Him. There's a plan by the enemy to keep us from engaging what has been given to us. A plan to layer over and obscure this discernment that He's given to us, the place of sensitivity that He's put in us. Well, if He can accomplish that, then what He's accomplished is He's kept you from fulfilling everything that God has given. But when we respond to the new nature, when we go, you know what? This may not be comfortable for the moment, but I am a new person. I don't have to respond anymore like I used to. I don't have to do what the old man wanted to do. I can do what God is calling me to do. Chapter 5, verse 18 says that if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, we've been given freedom. When we're led by the Spirit, we've been given freedom. Galatians 5 and 1 tells us it was for freedom that we were set free. 5:18 here says that when we're led by the Spirit, we're not under law. Now, it's capitalized as an S, capital S as indicating the Holy Spirit, but that actually should be a lowercase s as indicating the new nature that's within you. When you're responding to the new nature that's within you, then you no longer have need of those things that are maintained by the law. Why? Because the law of Christ is already in your heart. The fruit of that Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. When we're being led by the Spirit of God, He has given us a place of walking in wholeness and freedom. Because see, where were rejection and shame in that list? They didn't appear in that list, did they? They're not in that list. When we're led by the Spirit, it results in this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the list that is leading us into. That's the list that begins to form and shape our character, form and shape our outlook, form and shape our responses to the world around us. When we respond out of these things, then there's a glory that is released. There's a righteousness that is walked in. Hallelujah. There's something that begins to happen when righteousness is walked in. There's a release of glory. There's a release of glory when righteousness is walked in. God has an assignment for you. Turn with me to Isaiah 60. And in that assignment, we find it by walking in the fullness of this righteousness, by looking and understanding what has been given to us. I'm going to back up to Isaiah 59. Because see, he's speaking here of what begins to happen when we allow ourselves to be redeemed from shame. There's a process where we get redeemed from the shame. There's a process where we're redeemed from the rejection. And when we're redeemed from shame and rejection, things begin to happen. When we're doing that, here's what he says here in Isaiah 59:19. Because what is this about? This is about the restoration of Israel. Verse 19, so they will fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. From the east to the west, they will fear His name. From the east to the west, they begin to recognize the superiority of who this God is that we serve. For He will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. So a Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. He's talking about that redemption that is coming upon them. Here's why it's coming upon them. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, now and forever. When we begin to put the Word of God in our mouth, we put the Word of God in our hearts, we put the Word of God into action, there is a response that is coming from the Father Himself. There is a response that is coming. There is a Redeemer that is spoken of because of this Word that has been implanted within your heart. Here's what it says. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, we will arise and shine, and the glory of the Lord is coming and beginning to emanate from us. In the Old Testament, the best they could do is to come upon them and radiate from them. In other words, to be reflected from them. But what God has given to us now is the ability for this glory of the Lord, because Christ is in you, for the glory of the Lord to be radiated out of you. He's given us a situation. Not only are we seeing the glory of the Lord being reflected off of us, but it's radiating from us. As it radiates from us, it's bringing order to all that it sees. As it radiates from us, it's changing the very circumstance, the very landscape that we're surrounded by. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has come upon you. When the glory of the Lord comes upon you, there is no more place for shame, because see, the glory is the opposite of shame. There's a renewing of the covenant of God with us when we begin to walk in the glory. See, that we look at the glory, sometimes we look at it as something that's almost the equivalent of money or something. But that's not what He's saying. What He's saying is glory is the removal of shame. It's the removing of the reproach. It's the breaking off of the rejection. Those things that were a cause for the Lord to be against you have been removed in the glory. The reason that Moses couldn't lift the veil was because the people weren't ready for it, because they didn't have a nature like Christ's nature within them. But see, now the veil has been lifted. When a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. When a man turns to the Lord, it's been given to us as a New Testament believer to turn to the Lord and have those things of reproach and shame, rejection, removed entirely. There's no more distance. What happens most of the time? If you find a situation where you feel shame, what normally happens? What's the normal response is to pull away, pull back from God. But that's exactly what He paid for, so that would not happen. Because He paid for this to be rolled back, for the veil to be forever torn from the top to the bottom, signifying that He was the one paying the price for it. Signifying that it was His desire to enter in, to interface with you. And it doesn't matter what you've done. The righteousness that you're being accounted to comes from Christ. Not you, not your action. Recognizing that nature that's within you. Recognizing the truth and allowing the operation of truth to bring you into wholeness and wellness. Truth truly sets you free. When you let Him speak into the place of the darkness has to run. Darkness will run from the light every time. Darkness will run from the light. Darkness will flee the light. When the light of truth shines on our hearts, then those things that we learned on a childhood school ground, they're broken. They have no more power. They have no more sway over you. Righteousness reveals His glory. Go with me to Habakkuk 3 and 4. I want to read it to you out of the NIV because it's the clearest. And Habakkuk is by Nehemiah, just to the right of Zechariah. And it says this in Habakkuk 3 and 4 in the NIV. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from His hand where His power was hidden. Rays of light are going forth from His hand. There's something that happens when we begin to rise and shine. We begin to look. There's something that flashes out of us. There's something that begins to shatter even the darkness around us. Because see, out of His right hand, out of that place of the intimacy with Him, out of that place is the place of His power. And see, He's hiding the place of His power in His glory. Why? Because He wants you to seek Him out. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to understand who He is in the fullness of His glory and let that glory begin to saturate you into such a way. Then you're prepared for the release of the power that comes from His hand. He wants to release something in your life. As He breaks off these things that have held us back, that have created artificial limits in our life, then we're being set forth and set out into a place where there's a release of power, because that power is being hidden in His glory. Who He is hidden in His glory. When you begin to see the Father, what you see is the immensity of the radiance of light. The first thing that anybody who encounters the Father sees is the light that comes from Him, a light that is so bright that He defies our even explanation here. But see, within that is the essence of who He is. Within that is the power, the dunamis, the demonstration of who He is. And it's this release of power. It's the release of the demonstration. It's the place that draws us into the land of demonstration. That's what we're looking for here. And it happens when we recognize that when we bring His glory upon us, we're taking off the veil of shame. We're taking off the veil of rejection. We're taking off the veil of our own pain. We're taking off the veils of the enemy's deceptions. Because see, when you start looking into those things that created that pain, even if there was a real rejection, the thing that was really causing it, the pain, was the deception that went with it. And see, when God begins to be glorified in your life, that light begins to stream from you, that light begins to transform the things that are around you, then there's a release that happens in your life. Verse 11 of Isaiah 60 says this, "Your gates will be open continually. They'll not be closed day or night. So men may bring unto you the wealth of the nations and with their kings led in procession." That which stood before you as an enemy will be made a mockery of. In the old days, when an enemy king was captured, then they would come and they would line them up and make a show of them as they entered and walked through the towns. And this thing stood over us, but no more. Those things, no matter what they were, they may have stood over you in the past, but no more. It's time to allow God to make a show, an open show of those things that have stood against us. No more do we have to walk in the shame. No more do we walk in rejection. No more do we walk in that past pain. But we can begin to walk in the fullness of who God has called us to be as we walk in the fullness of the glory that He's revealing in us, to us, and through us. Hallelujah. His righteousness will reveal His glory. God bless you. We love you. Thanks for allowing me to walk out some of my own freedom here. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.